Let's welcome Michael as he comes up to preach the word of God to us. Come on, Michael.
A pleasant good morning, church. It is always a privilege to be able to share the word of God with you. But before we do anything else, let's go to God in prayer. Father and our God, we come before you. And we are so thankful and grateful for the opportunity that we have to come before you this morning. Father, we just want to pray and ask you for the presence of your Holy Spirit, that he may be with us, that he may be among us. And I pray, God, that you may remove all the distractions that may hinder us from hearing your word. And I pray, God, that you may be able to use me in a way that will impart exactly what you desire for your congregation. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity like this to worship you, to give you thanks. And we just want to pray that we'll never take times like these for granted, but to be able to understand how precious times like these are for our faith, our conviction, and ultimately our relationship with you. Bless today, Father. Help it to meet our needs, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we continue in the series, Don't Just Stand There, Pray Something, I'll be looking at the, you know, today's text or lesson is pretty much taken from chapter 19 and 20 of the book. And so it is the title of today's lesson is When the Church Prays. You know, prayer is a very simple but very powerful tool that God has provided us with. I think oftentimes we can either appreciate or we can take for granted some of the tools that we have to use in our lives. And you know, as I was looking at the lesson, you know, one of the things that came to mind, you know, was you can tell a lot about somebody by their response, by their first response to challenges. You can really tell a lot. And I was thinking about that in the context of praying. And I want for you to think about that for a moment. How do you respond to a challenging situation? How do you go about responding to that situation? I want for you to think about a time in your life or an occasion or some situation that you may have gone through or maybe going through at the moment. And I want for you to think about your initial response to that situation. And because one of the things that you can, and as you think about it, you know, you can see different things coming at you. Because I know for me personally, sometimes prayer is not the first response. I remember when last year when Suzette was giving birth to Natalia. And I remember the difficulty. We went in the... First of all, we went to the hospital just to do a routine checkup. This is the final weeks of the week of the pregnancy. And we were told, you can't really leave. We're thinking, okay. Because you're, don't remember what level, was uncomfortably high. And we will just keep you in and monitor you until you deliver the baby. This is like a week two. So we're thinking, okay, that is, you know, I was hoping that we would go home, but amen. I guess we will stay there for the week. And I slowly saw things getting progressively worse, and that is just slowly. Eventually, she is hooked up to drips, and eventually, as time progressed, she saw the midwife moving from happy to moving a little bit faster to getting the consultants in, and they're whispering to each other. You think when consultants start to whisper, you get concerned, and you know. Yes, I do get concerned when consultants whisper. To me, that's not a good sign. And as they whispered, then I start here, you need to go and get these results done immediately. When you start to hear the words immediately, then you get even more concerned. But as things got progressively worse, so much so, you know, to cut a long story short, my wife ended up spending, after a routine check, she came out the day before Christmas. My daughter was born on the 4th of December. She came out on the 23rd of December. And I remember sitting in the emergency, because they had to do an emergency cesarean section. And I remember sitting in there, and I overheard the woman said that, you know, my wife lost about 1.5 liter of blood. And I'm thinking, okay, if my math served me correct, that's a good bit of blood there. You know, that is not the body will you know somehow struggle to get up back to speed immediately. But through all of that, I think the initial response was, you need to pray. I think when I realized, wow, this is really not getting any better, then I realized, you know, maybe you should start to pray a little. Then I realized it gets, you know, got even more intense, and I thought maybe I should pray a little more. Then after a while I realized, you know, I just need to weep and wail, because you know, my wife went in and it looks like I'm going to come out with a little baby girl but without my wife. If you understand what I'm saying. But you need to ask yourself the question, what is your first response? How do you respond in your challenging situation? I'm not sure what your challenging situations are. But you need to ask yourself, between you and God, what is your first response? Is it to pray? Is prayer an instinctive thing? I can hold my hand up and say, for me, it's not. Prayer is not the very first tool that I draw on. One of the first things I tend to draw on is worrying. You know, I tend to worry a lot. And then I tend to think a lot, as if I can change the situation by thinking about it, you know. And then I tend to analyze a lot. And so I will sit down, and to use a phrase that a friend of mine once said to me, that I tend to go through the process of paralysis by analysis. Where you just analyze and you keep in that loop of analyzing. But there's no results coming out of the analysis. You just keep analyzing away. But in Acts chapter 4, which is where, you know, we'll Our text is today. You know, we look at the disciples at a very difficult point in time. And this was when Peter and John was preaching the word of God, and they were somehow persecuted because of them preaching the word of God. And they were brought before the Sanhedrin. But in verse 23, it says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Now let's stop there for a minute. Now you look at this group of disciples, and their mindset was, you know, I hear about the challenges, so what we're going to do is we're going to pray. Let us pray. You know, these disciples, they understand that the way we're going to overcome our challenge is through prayer. See, I don't think it is wrong to think, and I don't think it is wrong to analyze or to do any of that stuff. I don't think it is wrong. I think you need to do some thinking. I think you need some thinking time. I think you need some analysis time. But to be honest with you, it is never wrong to go to God first. It is never a wrong thing if you decide that, you know what, let me pray. Let me be like Nehemiah for a moment. I need to go to the king, but let me whisper a word of prayer before I go. Who knows? You know, I mean, how do you handle your situation? Do you pray before you do anything else? Or maybe you feel like, you know, maybe I need to phone a friend first. Let me phone a friend. Or maybe let me Google it. You know? Let me Google it. Or maybe let me, you know, after I eat something. To be honest, our mindset and our attitude needs to be, let us pray. You know, I want to look at three things very quickly. And the first thing is that, the first point I'd like to share with us, and this is, the points are taken from the book really, and that is the presence of God perceived, and the second point will be the power of God received, and the third point will be the purpose of God achieved. Now in Acts chapter 4, and if you look in verse 31, and here we're talking about the presence of God perceived. In Acts 4 and verse 31, it says, after they finished praying, because they start out and they prayed, it says, you know, you can read the prayer, you know, they pray to God and you know, really, you know, give God the glory. And it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You know, the thing that I'm encouraged by when I read this verse is, you know, it says after they prayed, it was only the apostles who were filled with the Holy Spirit. But the scripture says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That to me is very encouraging, because sometimes you can feel like, I am not worthy. You know, that kind of power and that kind of impact is only reserved for those who are very spiritual. Those who read their Bible every single day, pray every opportunity they get, which is really not the case. And I think God is trying to make a point to every single one of us here. But the thing that I really want for us as well to look at and to ask ourselves is, are we convinced by the presence of the Holy Spirit? Are we truly convinced by the presence of God's Spirit? You know, John chapter 16 tells us, you know, about the work of the Holy Spirit. You can take the passage down. I will not get into it that much. But in John chapter 16, from about verse 1 to 16 talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. And you realize that God really left us His Spirit to really work in us on His behalf. And you need to ask yourself the question, are you really convinced by the presence of God's Holy Spirit? What is your perception of the Holy Spirit? I remember I used to have very interesting perceptions. Because, you know, when I was growing up, I go to a lot of churches. I've gone to so many different churches. And so I would develop, you know, all these perceptions. You know, when I go to the Catholic Church, I used to think that God and the Holy Spirit is this, you know, pious, silent, you know, you walk and you speak, you know, kind of a... Then I would go to the a Pentecostal-based church, and I'll see, you know, people running from one end of the auditorium to the next, speaking in languages that I have no idea what they're talking about. And so I think that, you know, well, I guess, you know, that's what the Spirit is. And I would be told that as well. And so I thought, okay, I guess to the Pentecostal, that's what it is. But, but after studying the Bible, I understand really that the Spirit may not necessarily be that. That really He's there to, kind of like what a counselor would be when you sit down and talk to somebody and they offer you some very solid, good advice. But in this case, He will not be biased about the advice, or, you know, He'll be very straightforward and to the point. He will not tell you what your itching ears want to hear. But, and that's eventually over time, that's what my perception of the Holy Spirit is, that He will tell you like it is. So if you really want to hear it, He will tell you. And if you're going down the wrong road, He's like, you know, I'm not coming with you. You can go, but I won't come. And you need to ask yourself the question, what is your perception of the Holy Spirit? Because sometimes your perception will determine your reaction to different things. And I think sometimes when you address that perception, maybe you can move forward in how you engage with the Holy Spirit. You know, the question I'd like to ask, you know, can you see the Holy Spirit at work in the fellowship? Can you actually, when you come, do you see the Holy Spirit at work in our fellowship? You know, the next question I'd like for you to think about is, what kind of lens do you look through? Do you look through a spiritual lens, or do you look through, you know, the imperfect physical lens that we tend to use? Because, you know, there are times when you can come into the fellowship and, you know, you're not looking through a spiritual eye. It's that physical, imperfect kind of, you know, thing that you're used to, that you're looking through. And so you're not seeing the spiritual things of God and what God is doing. All you're seeing is, I don't like that, I don't like this, I don't like that person. I just don't like the way he's singing that song. I mean, he's just destroying my song. You know, I love that song, but he's just not singing it. You know, and you know, that brother, that sister, I mean, every time they keep coming to ask me how I'm doing, you know, but that's if you're not looking through a spiritual lens. Because there are times when you can pray and say, God, I want to change, and God says, okay, that's fine, I'll help you in that regard. I'm going to send brother so or sister so and so to you. And you think, why is the sister hounding me? You know, why is she calling me? I mean, but you forget that you just prayed. You just said, God, help me. But, you know, the physical imperfect lens is saying, yeah, I want help, but I want that sister to help me. And God is saying, well, I mean, if you're going to do it, you're going to have to do it my way. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to do it my way. You see, the atmosphere that we create in the church, I believe, is brought about by the Holy Spirit through spiritual men and women putting into practice spiritual principles like what we're learning about in this prayer series. I think if we want to have a spiritually filled church, I think we need to be spiritually filled disciples, to be honest. Which makes sense, right? You can't be a spiritually filled group having a set of people who are spiritually, you know, who are unspiritual. It just doesn't make sense. But if you are unspiritual and you're working to be spiritually filled, then you know, you can eventually become a spiritually filled group. And I really want to encourage us to develop a very conscious and deliberate understanding of what and who the Holy Spirit is. So we can really be disciples who are spiritually filled, having our needs met. The second point I'd like to look at is the power of God received. You know, oftentimes, in verse 31 of Acts chapter 4, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, once, when you are spiritually filled, if you will, or, you know, once you're doing spiritually well, it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll always be doing well spiritually. True? And I think sometimes as Christians we can make that mistake. I'm doing well today, so... And eventually over time we slack off. So, you know, you may be reading your Bible and praying and you feel like, hey, man, things are going well. And to us that means, okay, now I can stop. Because things are going well. I can now go into autopilot. Because I don't need to do much more. I'm happy with my wife. She's happy with me. The kids are okay. And you wake up this morning and think, God is good. And then by 10 o'clock you feel like, God, you are a cruel God. Why did you give me this wife? And you don't say that to your wife, actually. You're saying that to yourself. But you see, we always need renewing. Amen? That's what I'm trying to say. We always need renewing. You know, we always need to be going back to God over and over again. Because, you see, we need to have the attitude as a church and individually that we're going to be seeking God all the time. In verse 24 it says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. You see, the church's attitude back then was, we're going to seek God. We're going to go after communicating with God. You know, their attitude as well was that they were going to seek the blesser. not the blessing. Because oftentimes, sometimes we go after seeking the blessing instead of giving thanks and praise to the person who gave the blessing. And oftentimes, sometimes, as individuals, if you think about it sometimes, the times when you tend to mess up the most, sometimes it's after something good happening to you. Something good happening, you think, amen. Amen. And before the good thing happened, you would get up every morning and you'd pray fervently. God bless me with this. And then God bless you the next morning. It's like, I was sleeping because, you know, the blessing. I get the blessing now. So I don't need to pray. And God is thinking, what? I thought you'd have gotten up a little extra early this morning just to give some more praise. But instead, like, you know, forget that. Get the blessing now. Moving right along. You know, we need to seek the blesser, not the blessing. You know, I believe that if we seek God in all situations, I believe that we'll have the sense of humility that when we are blessed, we will continue to seek God. And, you know, what I'm talking about is developing a habit. It's to have that kind of habit, that kind of attitude, that kind of mindset where it becomes second nature to do the things that are right. I remember my mom used to tell me, Michael, practice makes perfect. And for a very long time I thought, wow, that is so true. Practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. And I remember, you know, during high school I would say that practice makes perfect. And so in the nights when everybody else was asleep, practice makes perfect. And I'm looking at the bed, practice makes perfect. But as I got older, I realized I revised that saying a little bit. Because I realized, wow, you can practice the wrong thing. Hence, you perfect the wrong thing. So if I practice not to pray, guess what happened? I'm not going to pray. If I practice not seeking the blesser, then guess what happened? Anytime I'm blessed, I will not be seeking God. And so I revised my phrase, perfect practice makes perfect. And so if I practice the right thing, then I will perfect the right thing. You see, I think for many of us, we need to stop make being a Christian a part of our life. But I think for many of us, we need to make Christianity our life. You see, there are many things that we do second nature. As much as we hate it, it is second nature. We get up every single day for those of us who work, and we go to work. Whether we like it, yes or no, we do it. You know, second nature. None of us get up and think, today I'm just not wearing any clothes. Yeah, just not going to happen. Whether we like it, yes or no, we're going to wear some clothes. Not many of us get up and think, yeah, today I'm just not going to groom myself today. Whether we like it, yes or no, we're going to get it done. Why? Because we understand that it is necessary. And it becomes second nature. And I think spiritually, there are spiritual things that need to become second nature to us. Like praying. When something happens, what do? You pray. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know, this passage challenges me so much. You know, when I read it, because I think God is trying to communicate something. He was trying to communicate something to the Israelites. And I think he's trying to communicate something to us as well. about the mindset, the attitude, the kind of the way that we need to conduct our lives. Well, chapter 6 and verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit down at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hand. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." I mean, when you listen to this, you know, God is saying, "Listen to me. I need for you to take my way of life, the way I do things, and I want for you to engrave them on every single facet of your life. Every single area of your life, I want for you to imprint them upon you." Now, when you think about that, you realize, wow, God is trying to communicate to us that being a spiritual individual needs to become second nature. It has to be. Because, you know, when you think about what he's trying to say here, I mean, he's not just saying you need to study the word so much that, you can recite it. He's saying you need to live it. It needs to be something that not only comes off your lips, but it's in your heart as well. So when you're, as Paul says, when he wants to do good, evil is right there. You know what? God's word is there to help you. God's word is there to provide that kind of guidance. And I'd like for us to develop that sense where God's word is second nature to us. You know, finally, the purpose of God achieved. If you look back in Acts chapter 4, and I'll just read from verse 32, because after they prayed, it says that, they spoke the word boldly. It says, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy person among them, for from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need." You see, when we seek God, one of the things that result is, we get a sense of clarity, a sense of peace, because the Bible says so, right? And Paul says, I think it's Philippians chapter 3, when he says, you pray and the peace of God transcends all understanding, guards your heart. I do believe that God provides that sense of peace. That is why he said in Matthew 6:33-34, "Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be enough worries of its own." You see, there is enough evidence to indicate that when you seek God, when you seek God's presence, when you seek God's word, when you allow God to fill you spiritually, then there is empowerment from seeking God. You see, these guys went on to do incredible things. I think mainly because they went after seeking God. What is it that you want to do that because of you not seeking God, you're not able to do it? Is it, is there a friend that you're trying to reach out to that you feel like, I don't have the words. I don't know what to say to the person. And so I'm waiting for the right opportunity. And that right occasion has not arrived as yet, so I'm waiting. And God is saying, if you only seek me, I'll help you. Maybe it's a career move. I don't know. Maybe it's a sin that has plagued you. I'm not sure what it is. But I think if we seek God, God will provide that kind of boldness, that kind of clarity, that kind of courage that will enable us to overcome. You know, I really want to encourage us this morning. One, as a fellowship, that if we're going to become a praying church, I do believe that we need to develop a spiritual understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit. Because to be honest, that's the only thing that God has left us to really help us in terms of an individual. And though you can't see him, he's there, ready and willing to work. It doesn't matter what age you are. And I say that for the benefit of the teens, because sometimes teens can feel like, you know, nobody understands me. That may be true. But, I guarantee you that God understands you. He's the maker, so he understands. And so if he understands, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit understands as well. And so sometimes you may feel like nobody else does. But God does. He understands. He has a plan. And so I really want for us to develop that understanding. But I think I want for us to train ourselves as well. Start with simple things. Because oftentimes, you know, somebody always used to tell me as well, the longest journey begins with the first step. And so start something. Set yourself some target, you know, a very simple target. Sometimes we set ourselves these lofty goals. Start with simple ones. So if it means if you just want to pray for a minute each day, that's fine. Some people may laugh at your minute, but amen. At least that's 1 minute of communication with God every day. Before you know it, your minute will turn to 15 minutes. And before you know it, you're having regular prayer days with God. But you have to start somewhere. And so if you're just waiting for the right moment to do a day of prayer, you may never get it. Because Satan will never allow you to get to that place where you have a day of prayer. So, I'd encourage you. Work on simple practicals that will help you to get to your goal. To get to your goal individually. And I believe that collectively as a church, we can get to the place where it becomes second nature to pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael, for that great sermon, Prayer Being Second Nature. Let's all please stand. Let's bow our heads. We'll say a prayer in keeping what Michael said, what the Bible says.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this great sermon, Father. I pray that you fill our hearts. Amazingly, God, we know your spirit is within us, and I pray, Father, you can help us to have that second nature of prayer, God. Lord, we want to be people that are spiritual, We don't want to rely on our own understanding, our own nature, which wants to control, which wants to do things our own way. But instead, Father, we want to rely on you, God. I pray for everyone here today that they can rely on your Spirit, God, that it can lead them back to you every single time, God, to make decisions in their life, to make the right decision, to be bold, to be courageous, God, whatever they're challenged with, that they come to you, Father. We thank you for this great chance to be with you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're now going to sing 384, Rise Up, O Men of God.
Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, His kingdom's arid long. Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait. Her strength unequal to her task, rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod. Brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God, rise up, O men of God.
Let's have a great time of fellowship now and be talking about prayer life. Amen.
Amen. Good. Welcome. Thank you.